All right, everyone, let's get into it. Let's dive in. I've this is like my probably 11th message I'm giving, and I'm still nervous as it is my first one. But you know what? God is good, and He's always going to lead the way. What we could stand is that in today's world, we have a lot of change. We get used to one thing, and this world will constantly change on us, right? We don't have a set, we don't know when it's going to change, but we know at the end of it, we get used to one trend, one new, the kids are coming up saying weird things like no cap and things like that. And I don't know, a cap to me is a hat, I don't know what's really going on here. But at the end of the day, this world is vastly changing. This world is never going to cease to amaze us. Culture today is changing even more rapid in our beliefs. It says we live rapidly in an advancing world. Artificial intelligence is growing. The information is instant. Morality is constantly being redefined. So when I was thinking about this, I said, you know what? I got to really think about a message that's going to be of today, that's going to assist our believers in just staying strong in the Lord's word and the Lord's truth. And I prayed to God and said, God, you need to, I need you right now, and please just shower me with your Holy Spirit. Because I need you right now to say, hey, we're going to talk about some things that we may be using correctly, we may be using as tools, and we may be using as dependency rather than be our dependency on God. But the title of today's message is Anchored in Truth in a World That Will Not Stop Moving. Our key scripture today comes from a well-known verse. It's going to be in Romans 12:2. So if you like, we could bring that up and turn our Bibles to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. So as I said before, this world is rapidly advancing. Like I said, I mentioned artificial intelligence. It's funny because we were at a men's Bibles and Burgers not too long ago, a couple months ago, I would say. And Pastor said that we brought up the topic of AI, and he said, you know what, that's crazy because it's progressed to the point to where for $1.99, you can speak to Jesus, and He will answer through Jesus, an AI Jesus bot. And people are going and paying this $1.99 to put their belief and their dependency on this AI Jesus that He's going to answer your prayer. There's something wrong with that. Why pay $1.99 to speak to Jesus when you could already speak to Jesus for free? Social media is shaping people's opinions faster than Scripture shapes convictions for many people. Our dependency on Scripture is it's not called Holy Bible just because it's a book. It's called Holy Bible because it's an acronym to me, and you guys have probably heard it. It says, He only left you basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the way we should live. Guys, this is what we should be listening to. This is what our dependency should be on. What was considered true yesterday is being questioned today, right? I had a definition of bloodletting, and I was going to use it, but I forgot it. There's things in this world that if we were to turn on the TV is reshaping how we, types of relationships we can have, the type of marriages we could have, and all that craziness. We as believers have to navigate through this changing world without losing our biblical foundations. The hope that remains is that while the world is vastly evolving, the Word of God remains the same. However, while the world world's culture, technology, and platforms, aka social media, are constantly evolving, God's word does remain the same. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So we as believers are facing the mere challenge not just to survive modern culture, but we need to stay grounded spiritually while living in it. How do we do it? How do we do it? Well, the word of God says this. It says, he brought me a word. It says, to my first point, it says, stay rooted in God's word. Stay rooted in God's word. You know, we live in the Central Valley, and we're always, you know, if you notice the trees that are planted in new fields, and when they're young and existing, or even in our house, you plant a new tree, because when you plant a new tree, it can't stand really on its own. Well, how do they plant them? They usually plant them with two stakes, right? So that their roots can start to develop, right? And so in this world, there are many voices. So just like those trees in this world, if we were to go out in this world alone, there are many voices that are such as influencers, routines, commentators, trends, viral opinions. We as believers need to remember that there is only one voice that is eternal, and that is God's voice. The word of God in Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And that's in Psalms 102. So God is there to be able to guide your path and your way as long as you allow him. So I mentioned that young tree that is being planted, and they plant it with stakes. If it was not, it's going to fall over. So just like in that, as we are trying to live in this world, if we are not rooted strongly in God's word, we can start to drift and conform, because we don't have that accountability. We don't have that sturdy structure that's going to help us grow and grow those deep roots. So what does that look like as young believers? We got brothers in men's ministry. We got women. In women's ministry, we got a community, we got youth. We need that community to be able to help stand us up so that we do not fall over and topple in a tree when the storm comes, and we cannot drift away. My brothers and sisters, this is going to come as a shock to you, but there are times that even the most seasoned believers start to drift. All right? It says this, there are signs of drifting that include our decision making is based on what feels good rather than allowing scripture to be our guide. Culture's convictions are louder than Christ or righteous ones. Convenience is more important than obedience. Biblical truth becomes negotiable. And that's a hard one right there. That's a big one. We've seen ways that people can actually manipulate God's word into something that they may desire, a selfish desire, such as we've heard, right? Jesus did not turn wine into grape juice, or water into grape juice. We can stay rooted as what Brother Henry and I have spoke about a lot, as they're called the non-negotiables. You got to pray daily, read scripture daily, right? I don't have social media, but if you have social media and that's your thing, before you even go on social media, pray before you jump on there. Compare every idea that you see or allow into your world or communicate. Compare it to God's truth. You can actually sit there. We live in a time where it's easy to figure out and decipher God's word, where we can actually say, you could type in what you're dealing with and with circumstance, and there could be a scripture appointed right to it. And again, community. Staying connected. I know a lot of times we like to isolate. We like to be in our own world. Sometimes we like to keep what we're going through private. And then when we come through the doors of church, we put on that facade, that fake face, that fake smile. But you know what? God can see through all that fakeness. The second thing that is happening in this world is that the way we could battle culture is stay discerned in confusing culture. Discerned is such a church word. It means stay. I had it all in my head and I lost it. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. 1 John 4:1. It says, discern means being able to acknowledge, being able to decipher, being able to determine, right, what is from God and what is not. It came to my head after I read that. It says, of course, not everything in modern in this world is bad, is evil, but it's not all wise either. Right? When you make changes or advance without discerning or determining if it follows God's truth first or not, it can lead to destruction. Things we should evaluate in our lives that are worthy of it is what we watch, movies, shows, etc. You know, we live all of our kids love to be on YouTube. All of our kids love to be watching TikTok videos and reels. Some of us adults do as well. But what we're putting into our minds can also start to deceive us to the point to where we start to say, hey, guess what? I may not need to be in church all the way. We're starting to drift and start to fall into those patterns and ideas that we may see. What we tend to normalize, there's times, right? Football season is around the corner. And what do people, what goes along with football season? The barbecues, the games. We have the 10 o'clock game that nobody wants to miss. So they'll what? They'll normalize not going to church during football season. They'll normalize, God's everywhere. I don't have to be in church. I can pray right from my couch. Things we start to celebrate. You know, we just celebrated Ethan's graduation. What a milestone that young man has grown into. And we're so happy for him. We're so proud as a church community. And the way we celebrated that last night was full of God. There was praise and prayer and scripture spoken and just the joy of family around him. And yes, there was dancing till the coco no. Right? But we're celebrating the accomplishments that not only, yes, Ethan had to live through it and go, but there was a community behind the support that was there, so we were also supporting Michael and Stephanie's journey. We were supporting celebrating the teachers that all were involved and helping them grow. That's healthy celebration. Things that aren't healthy are things that are patterns of this world, such as, I know we all like this holiday, Halloween, right? But we celebrate something different. It's called harvest. Says what influences our children. We need to discern what we're allowing our kids to watch. What TV shows? What social media platforms they're on? If there aren't any, I don't think any kids should be on there. Determine, nowadays gaming today. You can talk to people across the world, and then there's people that are gaming that are not all don't have the healthiest influence on our kids as well, saying some vulgarities. We need to ensure that those things are healthy. What we idolize shape ideologies shape our thinking, our beliefs, our values, and our community, the people we hang out with. It's been said, we can tell, everybody can tell who you are by who you hang out with. You see, we live in a world where there's a lot of fake deception out there, a lot of things. I was talking with Pastor on this and getting ideas of how we can demonstrate it. And man, we all love the cherry auction. If you're in the valley and you've been to the cherry auction, the food is great when you go over there. But if you're going for a gift for your wife there and you're looking for a Louis Vuitton, you might not want to get that. It's probably a Luis Vasquez. You know, it's an LV. You know what? It's not going to be the gift. Right? And if you see shoes, you know, famous shoes are what? Some Jordans. You might get some Jordans. But to hammer this home is this. How can you ever be able to determine what is fake if you've never really had the real? God determines truth, not popularity. We need to understand that everything that's true comes from God, not what is popular. Sometimes it's okay to go against the grain. So sometimes it's good not to have the latest iPhone out there. My third point is this, is be bold without compromising. And you're going to say, oh man, bold. What does this mean? Well, here we go. In 2 Timothy 1:8, it says this, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me. And this is Paul talking while he was in prison. He says, rather join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. In today's culture, society does not want Christians. Society only wants Christians to what? Be silent, but also to compromise biblical truth, while they celebrate tolerance and reject biblical convictions and truth. However, we as believers are what? Called to love deeply, serve compassionately, speak graciously, and never abandon the truth, be Christ-like. And we all know the character of Jesus, right? He was full of grace and truth. And not one without the other. Being bold is stand for truth lovingly, refuse to compromise God's word, living differently without arrogance, and speak biblically without hatred. We as Christians are to live in this world without this world living in us. Sometimes we'll sacrifice and compromise a little just to be accepted. It says, keep in mind, it's like the boat, right? A boat belongs where? In water. The water does not belong in the boat. Because what will happen? It will sink. We live in a world, but the world should not live in us. And that's a bold statement because we should not allow what the influences of this world change what God has already instilled in our hearts, in our faith. Right? In this world, right, the impact of not being bold is sin and temptation. And what separates us more from Christ is what? Sin and temptation. We can, if we're not grounded into God's truth, we're going to waver from where, we're going to distance from it, and that by the time we know it, we're in over our head. We can't be dibble dabbling like a teeter totter, whether we're going to serve the Lord or serve the world. We can't do both. The same church on Sunday, we've heard it, it's in a song, I don't know which one it is. I don't quote 90s music because, frankly, I'm not as good as Michael with it. I will say this, right? You cannot, the same church on Sunday needs to be the same church Monday through Saturday. I mean, you need to be the same all around. Who you are at work, who you are at Sunday needs to infiltrate who you are at work. If you're full of the worship and praise and the gospel and full of Jesus on Sunday, it needs to be there Monday through Friday too. Right, we can't have our cake and eat it too. The answer is Jesus, and the answer is God's word. God wants us to stand firm in our beliefs in all places. You know, it's easy, right? You get around your coworkers, and you know, I've heard testimony from certain brothers. It's like, man, we're in church on Sunday, we're praising the Lord, and all of a sudden you start hanging around the guys at work. And they have all, they went to this party, they went to this and they went to that, and all of a sudden you find yourself out of character. But if you're But if you're biblically sound and you're doing what God has called you to do, to read and in strong relationship, read daily, pray daily, right? Fill your cup so that out of overflow, you start to be different. And in tune, you start to what? Bring others with you. The fourth thing I like to say is stay focused on eternal things. Stay focused on eternal things. Our goal here, guys, as Christians, is not to live in this world forever. Our goal should be that we need to set our eyes set to heavenly realm. Our eyes on heaven. It says in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Right? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It says we live in a world where technology is rapidly advancing. People are upgrading devices while neglecting souls, right? Because you're scrolling on this new device, enjoying it, but there could be your brother that's hurting to the right of you and you just missed it. The opportunity that God called you. And we have normalized distraction due to the advancement of this world, but the thing is, we fail to acknowledge is that where we spend eternity still matters. A lot of people have forgotten that eternity still matters, and where you're going to be, you're either going to be high or low. In this life, we could become digitally connected, but spiritually empty. We could be informed but prayerless, entertained but unfocused on eternity. The amazing thing is this: though cultural changes and advancements in technology, it says, the word of God is powerful, but it is foolish to those that are perishing. Meaning people that don't know the word of God, that aren't focused and centered on God's truth, right? Can't interpret what God is really trying to tell you, so they're out there aimlessly. It's like having a sports car. All right, everybody, my favorite sports car is what? Who can contest this? I love me a, you know, my favorite one was always a Chevy Corvette. All right, but you know the Corvette is what? One of the only cars that appreciates in value when it leaves the dealership as to other cars that depreciate. But what's good about the Corvette's car is what? Usually the engine. But what happens if you have this nice sport car, but you have no engine? It's just what? Metal. It's actually, you know, those little Hot Wheel cars you put on your shelf. The engine is the Holy Spirit of our lives, right? We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's Word. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal how and how do you get the Holy Spirit, right? Through the gospel and the word of truth. Right? The manufacturer will not let a car go without an engine. Nor God will let you go if you are really seeking him out. God will not let you go without the Holy Spirit. The gospel is still the answer. Jesus is still the Savior. People still need hope, right? Sin still separates, and grace still saves. We need God more today than we, and always, as this world starts to change. This world is not going to be the same tomorrow as it was today. Right? We have, electric cars are just the new thing of the future. But we can't have a growing future and still think that God's word is changing. No, God's word is the only thing that stays consistent. We can easily get lost on the candy of this world. And that will lose its flavor instead of getting that meal that never loses flavor. We can use technology without worshiping it. I'm going to close with this. We can use technology without worshiping it. We can engage in this culture without compromising truth. and we can advance professionally, staying grounded in truth, while everything around us continues to change as believers stay anchored in God's word, God's character, God's truth. So maybe there's a moment of your life where you feel, hey, you know what? I'm not applying all the time and effort to Christ. I'm doom scrolling every night before bed instead of reading my Bible. Hey, I'm guilty of it. I like to play games. I don't have social media, but I like to play games. You know, we can start sacrificing where we spend our Sundays so that we could, you know, be hanging out at the family barbecue, watching a football game, or we can be in church getting fed first. We need to normalize, and I love the blueprint that Michael and Stephanie use during any sports season. They will record the game and be about the Father's business and enjoy the game later. But don't, you better not speak scores to them. Let me tell you, just don't. But you know what? They're normalizing what? That God comes first in their home. And in our homes, we need to normalize that. So if we have drifted away from normalizing that we serve God first in our home, we need to repent. If we've allowed the change in culture to weaken our convictions, what we believe is true in this world, then we need to dive further into the Word. We need to ask that, am I grounded enough that when the storm comes or pressure increases in my life, am I grounded enough to say that God is going to guide me through? We got to ask ourselves this: is my mind being renewed by God or shaped by the world? The opinions that happen on social media and everything around us can have us turning if we feed too much into it. You know, one thing is that my wife loves to go to Disneyland. And she's not the only one. We do. We're a Disney family. We love it. But I'm going to tell you something. I will not go to Disneyland on Sunday anymore. Because I need to be in church on Sunday. This is where, what Michael says, the first happiest place on earth. It's in God's kingdom. Disney could be the second. Right? But we need to be here. We need to normalize church on Sunday. We need to normalize church Monday through Friday. So I laid out those questions. And you can honestly sit there and reflect and say, what's influencing me? And be honest. God already knows. But sometimes the hardest thing is to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Am I distancing myself from God? The good thing is it doesn't take much to just pick up this Bible. Right? Doesn't take much to say, God, forgive me for putting other things in front of you. Let me spend this time in the Word, hearing from you. And sometimes it's going to cost a little bit. There's going to be some sacrifice. It's going to be an inconvenience to some. But I'm going to tell you the beauty and the blessing that you're going to get when you open the book and you say, God, reveal your Word to me and let it speak to my soul and my heart. And the change that you're going to be able to witness is happening in your life when you start to apply it. We need to stay anchored in truth, church. Anchored in God's truth. This world is trying to deceive you, right? The world says what? Follow your heart. But we all know what it says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond care. Who can understand it? So guys, let's stand with me. Let's reflect. Let's be anchored in truth. Let's let God be the foundation of our lives, the light to our path. And I guarantee you, as this world changes, we'll be able to hold on because God will never change. Let's pray. Father God, you are just so amazing. Lord, I pray that this message did not fall short and your words were spoken, Lord. Lord, I pray that today, Heavenly Father God, be the day that we just get back. If we've distanced ourselves, if we've shied away, if we've moved further away from you by allowing ourselves to doom scroll at night, and God, not allowing this culture to shape how we believe, and be, you know, opinions to be changed, and maybe start to second guess your word. Lord, forgive us. Lord, our foundation is, you've laid the blueprint out to say, hey, our foundation needs to be built on you, and we shall not waver when the storm comes. So God, this is a prayer of forgiveness, Heavenly Father God. A request to say, God, not only for me, Heavenly Father God, but for the church, to say, God, if I've drifted, reveal it to me so that I can be better. So that I can ask for forgiveness, and I, Lord, can start to come back to you. Let me be bold when others are trying to minimize the importance of being in your kingdom. Let me be bold and say, hey, I need to be there. I will not waver who I am in you. God, let me be focused. Let me be focused on the gates of heaven, Lord. Eternal things. Things that you have called me to do. The rewards here on earth will perish, but your rewards never do, Heavenly Father God. God, we are here to be your servants, Lord. Let us be bold in that. Let us say yes to you more than we say yes to this world. Lord, be with our Sunday. Be with each and every one of us as we go home and we start to maybe try to understand what Stephen said. Sorry, God, for if I fell short. But God, you are in control of this world. This world will never control you. God, we thank you for that. At this moment, if you've drifted away from the Lord and you want to make that statement that say, from this day forward, I'm going to recommit my life to reading my word daily, to praying, to seeking first the kingdom of heaven rather than seeking my selfish gain. If you want to make that step forward of recommitment, follow me in this prayer. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for putting other things in front of you. Forgive me for getting too busy to make time for you. Lord, from this day forward, shower me with your Holy Spirit. Guide my path. I seek only you. God, I will be forevermore your servant from this day forward, because I know the price it cost for my freedom. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Now I need to do what is asked of me, and you've called me to. Maybe this is your first time in church. If you've never been to church and you're saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of running. I'm sick and tired of doing things my own way. I'm sick and tired of just being sick and tired. I need something that's more foundational. I need to grow roots in something that's going to be better than my current situation. If you've never given your life to Christ, and you're ready to follow me in this prayer, Lord, I come before you humbly as a sinner, knowing that my way is not the right way. Lord, forgive me for never seeking you out and never knowing you. From this day forward, Lord, I ask that you come into my heart. I surrender my life to you as Lord over my life. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. Because I know you went to the cross to die for me. Not because I'm worthy, but because I was worth it. And that God, 3 days later, you resurrected and you took each and every one of my sins away. Out of this atonement, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and guide my path. That's you today, and you raised your hand for either one of those things, or you said that prayer. Speak to a leader after the church today, and we want to just pray with you and celebrate with you. Because there's millions of angels that are celebrating in heaven when one comes back home. Lord, be with the rest of our evening as we get ready to partake in communion. Lord, let's examine ourselves, our lives, Lord. And again, thank you for this word you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, the power of God's word comes to live within you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Listen, I've tried to read this book before I was saved, and there was nothing. Not a whisper. I couldn't believe it. So I stopped reading it because I couldn't wrap my brain around knowing the ark. I was using all my scientific brain as like, that didn't happen. But listen, the Bible is the only book that where God and the author actually speaks to you. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's word is sharp enough to what? To pierce even the bone and the marrow. Amen. Some of you guys in here, I know you guys like to eat the marrow when you eat chicken. Right, you guys break it open. But listen, God's word is sharp enough to break, to pierce even the bone and the marrow. Meaning, listen, the biggest thing that we always see is that God will even pierce what? Our heart and hearts at the end of the day. And so thank you, Stephen, for giving today's word and encouragement. We're about to take communion here, and it's one of the two ordinances that we have here at the church. We sang the song earlier about all the tradition and the religion. We keep things pretty simple here. And we do the things that Jesus said, and we see that are commanded in the Bible, and communion is one of them. And the Lord Jesus commanded this, if you remember, in the upper room on Thursday before he went to the cross. It was a visual of what was happening, what had happened previous in the book of Exodus. Because remember, when God saved his people from slavery and captivity, and what he asked Moses to do and commanded them to do is to take a perfect and blameless lamb and to take the blood and to cover the doorposts of their home. You guys remember that? And as that night came and the firstborn of all of Egypt was taken, that the houses that had the blood on the doorpost were passed over by the angels of the Lord. You guys remember that? And so in the same way, when Jesus gives us his command, he's reminding us of what he came to do. That he came to give his life for the forgiveness of our sins. That we deserve justice and wrath, but he gives us mercy, grace, and salvation. Amen. And so that's what we celebrate. And we don't take it lightly because, listen, every one of us in here has either been on the receiving end of somebody hurting them through sin, or you have been the person that has sinned and hurt somebody. You know that? Amen. And so when we talk about what Jesus did on the cross, we don't just want to say it's like a religious thing where it's like, hey, we need to think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Number one, he saved us, but he also set us free from the shame, guilt, and condemnation of our sin. And I don't know, there's nothing, every time I think about it, I said, man, Jesus, you are enough. If Jesus did nothing else for us, that is enough. Amen. And so that's what we're going to take communion, and we're going to celebrate that this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, Lord God. You are such an awesome and powerful God, Lord. We worship you with our lives, Lord. And Lord, I am humbled, Lord God, every time we take communion because I remember what you did on the cross. And I am not worthy of it, Lord God, because every one of us, and we are all sinners, we're flawed, we're broken. And we're in desperate need of a Savior. So thank you that you are our Savior. Thank you that you are our Lord. Thank you that you didn't stand idle, that you came to make a way that we might be known to the Father, that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might have a relationship with you. And Lord, we know what it costs you. It costs you everything, Lord God. So before we take communion, we're going to read some passages, some scriptures, and be reminded of what Paul even tells us. Because the last thing you want to do is take communion in a way that's improper. And 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, everyone needs to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So Father God, right now we're all praying. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins of pride, Lord God. For our unforgiveness, Lord God. For the sins that we commit or the sins that we omit, Lord God, when we're disobedient to the call that you have on our lives. Make us right, make us whole. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness to each one of us, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord. But you are so good and merciful and kind, Lord God, that you meet us there. We don't deserve it, Lord God. When you leave the 99, you chase the one. And that includes every one of us in here, Lord God, because you are a good God. So prepare our hearts, Lord God, as we pass out the elements for communion, Lord God, to receive from you, Lord, and to remember what you did for us on the cross. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love for us and for what you endured, Lord, on the cross. The pain, the shame, the suffering, and the cruelest death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord God. Thank you that the cross is where, Lord God, your mercy, Lord God, and your justice collide, Lord God. And Lord, you didn't stay there. You have victory, Lord, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, you are risen and alive, Lord. Lord, we know what it cost you. And what a privilege it is to be known by you, to commune with you, to taste and to see that you are good. Help us to trust you, Lord God, even when it's uncomfortable, when it's inconvenient, Lord God, to trust you, Lord God, and to hold all of our lives, Lord God, under your lordship. Every part of our lives, our family, our work, our community, Lord God, that you would be Lord over all of it, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless our church, Lord. Have your hand over it, Lord. Bless it and protect it. Lord, the enemy wants to rob, steal, and kill, Lord God, but you came that we would have life and life to the full. So help us to stand, Lord God, in fellowship and community as a church that loves you and honors you in all that we do. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.